Welcome to the Sports Passion Podcast. Your host, Lars Marendorf.
Hello and welcome to the Sports Passion Podcast. We're going to talk about the Stanley Cup Finals. This is the second episode of talking about the Stanley Cup Finals, and I'm very happy to have a first-time guest, Erik Erlandsson from the Lightning Insider. He's going to talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning, obviously, about their way from a contender to champion and now to beyond the edge of being a two-time champion in a row, defending their Stanley Cup. And it was interesting to talk to Erik, obviously, and he's going to weigh in a couple of details, what the Lightning did, how the mentality changed in their style of play changed, and they have now players who can play in different styles there. I think it was great for Montreal to get the winning game four just for their fans and not to be forced to watch another team skate with a Stanley Cup on your own ice. So I think it's great for them that they have at least one game they can show. No sweep there is always great, I think, for the league to have something they can show and say, okay, yeah, we got a competitive league. We got a league that is not that one-sided there. So yeah, great for the Montreal Canadiens. And as I said, or as I'm gonna say in the interview with Erik, that I wish that the Tampa Bay Lightning, if they win the cup, they're gonna win it at home, because last year they obviously won it in the bubble and they had that boat ride there in Tampa and all of that was great. But I think it's gonna be great for the players to be able to skate on your own ring, to do your laps there with friends and family in the crowd, maybe even on the ice. I don't know the regulations there. So if the Lightning win, it better be at home. And so maybe in game five, who knows, we're going to talk about the keys to that game maybe. And yeah, enjoy it. Erik Erlandsson, the Tampa Bay Lightning Insider. So we are into the Stanley Cup Finals and they got extended one game. They returned to Tampa and I'm very happy to welcome a first-time guest to the show, Erik Erlandsson from the Lightning Insider. Erik, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lars. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate this.
Yeah, Erik, I mentioned you are running a homepage and you have a website, the Lightning Insider, as well. You cover the Lightning going back 20 years with the team. You worked for the Tampa Bay Tribune, and as it's sometimes the case in North America, from one day to the other, you had to find something new and you had to change the way you cover the team. Can you just explain to our listeners what you're doing, what it is you're doing with the Lightning Insider, how people can get information about Tampa on your homepage and on your podcast?
Yeah, so I worked for the newspaper here from 97 till 2016. I covered the Lightning starting in 2001, and I was in a hotel room in Brooklyn, New York for the morning of Game 3 against the Islanders in 2016 when a sale went through and killed our paper on the spot. So you're always trying to find ways to do something you love, and nothing materialized, so sometimes you just say, I'll do it myself. So I did start the website. It's lightninginsider.com. It is a premium site, a lot of the same coverage I used to do for the paper, daily stories, game recaps, opinion pieces, all that kind of stuff. So the website's been active since December of 16. So it's been around for a little over four years now, covering the team. It's led to a book, which is called Lightning Strikes, which is a commemorative book from their 2020 Stanley Cup championship run. And of course, you mentioned the podcast as well, under the same name, where anybody gets their podcast is where you can find that. Just look for Lightning Insider, and that's where we're at. So I'm happy to still be covering this team. It's a lot of fun. I still have a lot of passion for it. And the team is rewarding that with some success on the ice of late.
So it looks like you were kind of a pioneer covering the Tampa Bay Lightning in depth. There are a couple of homepages and podcasts around the league popping up that are covering the team in depth. And you mentioned that the Lightning are rewarding you with good play, and they have been pretty much since 2014, 2015 a contender. They reached the finals, they have won finals loss, they reached the conference finals twice, they had this record-setting season, regular season a couple years ago, and then they got swept in the first round. And what is it that is different from those seasons, from those teams, to now that the team is doing differently now? They obviously changed the way they play last year in the playoffs. They went on to win the Stanley Cup, and I would say that they were a very good team, and now they are a scary good team. I mean, they are not, or they don't seem to be rattled by anything, and what I think is very good by them is that they are not getting in a position to get rattled. I mean, they played the Game 7 against the Islanders, but it seemed that they never really were in danger of losing that game. So from all you've seen throughout the years, and especially through the last couple of years, what is different now for this team? What has changed so they are now able to win those games and to dominate in the way they do?
Well, they were always a very talented team. I mean, when you've got a Nikita Kucherov and a Steven Stamkos and a Victor Hedman, you know, they had Ben Bishop in the early parts of the success and goal, now Andrei Vasilevskiy. So the talent has always been there. They've actually had pretty good depth since, you know, during this run as well. They tried to bring in some, you know, Brendan Morrow was here for a while. Chris Kunitz was here, Dan Girardi. They tried to bring in some veteran guys to kind of help fill out the roster, but they just never seemed to be able to get past, you know, that last mental step. It was never a physical thing. It was always a mental step. And, you know, where previously when they faced some adversity, maybe, you know, it kind of came back to bite them and they didn't know how to handle it very well. And that's how you end up getting what happened in 2019. You know, they were overconfident, or, I mean, they've always been a confident team. Sometimes it bordered on cockiness, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it can backfire on you. And I think that's what happened in 2019. They had such a great regular season, and then they hit the playoffs and they lost that first game, and they just looked shell-shocked. They looked like they didn't understand what was happening to them, because they weren't expecting that to happen. They just were never able to recover. And I think you have to give a ton of credit to Julien Brisebois, the general manager, because the easy thing to do would have been to say, okay, it's not working. We've got this core. They can't get us past the hump. We just got swept. It's time to move on. They didn't do that. They took a more analytical approach. They stepped back. They examined what they had, how they had to get better. They didn't make drastic changes on the coaching staff. They didn't go out and trade any players. And in fact, they pretty much brought back the same team. And then when you got to the trade deadline in 2020, you're able to bring in Blake Coleman and Barclay Goodrow. And that just kind of changed the identity of their lineup by giving them that typical sort of third line that's just hard to play against. And it just seems ever since then, it's brought about a different approach, a different mentality. They've taken a lot of the high risk out of their game, because that's what was always something that would be there to their detriment, is that where they would just turn the puck over because they were always trying to push for goals because they're such a high scoring team and they want to score goals. But they had to sort of tweak their mindset a little bit to take some of that risk out, trust your patience, trust your skill, that when the opportunities do come, you can take advantage of them. And that's how you get a team that last year goes on to win a Stanley Cup in a bubble situation with never facing an elimination game. And it wasn't until you got to Game 7 against the Islanders this year where they were facing elimination. So they're just a mentally stronger team, and their approach is so business-like when they're in these situations. And that's why they've been able to bounce back. And that's why they're, as we talk now here, on the cusp of, you know, winning back-to-back cups.
And you mentioned the style they used to play. Right now, what is so impressive to me, I don't see them having a style. They can play different styles. They can be a high-scoring team, but as you've seen in the first three games of the Stanley Cup Finals, or going back to the Eastern Conference Finals, they won Game 7 1-0. Then going Games 1 and 3, they were high-scoring games in the Stanley Cup Finals, and Game 2 in between was a game that Vasilevskiy won for them. So he stole probably that game there. So it was more of a low-scoring game. It was more of a tight-checking game. They are just different in so many ways. You mentioned the guys they brought in. One guy that stood out to me was Patrick Maroon, who could be I've heard people talking about him like the next Michael Jordan, because he's going to be the first player in a long time in hockey that can three-peat. So, yeah, what is it, especially also regarding the high-scoring players, Stephen Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, Braden Point to some extent, what have they said and what have you heard from them regarding the style, and maybe they have to buy in more and they have to play less offensive-minded but more team-oriented so that the Lightning can be successful? What have you heard from those guys, those superstars, buying into the game plan for the team?
There's no doubt. You know, they had to. They couldn't be this run-and-gun team. It can get you success, and it can get you where on the path to where you want to go, but it doesn't always lead to where you want to go. And, you know, this was a team for a number of years, especially when Steve Yzerman was in charge, that was, they were really built around speed and skill. And, you know, not that they're a big team now, not that they're, you know, a physical team now, but they can play physical. And, you know, you hear the phrase hard to play against, and that doesn't mean that, you know, you're fighting and you could do that. You know, how are you along the walls? Can you out battle your opponent, you know, in the corners? That's the kind of be hard to play against mentality that they have. And so, you know, those guys did have to kind of just, it's not even really changing your game. It's just changing your mindset. You know, there's no reason to make a high risk pass across the top of the zone, right? Like think back to last year, Nikita Kucherov was actually benched in a game for doing just that. It led to a shorthanded goal. Ottawa tied the game and Tampa Bay ends up going on winning in overtime. But Nikita Kucherov sat for the entire third period, didn't play in overtime because they were trying to get those type of plays out of their game. So it was just a mentality shift more than anything else. You know, the offense, the skill, what these guys can do, that doesn't go away. You just have to kind of control it a little bit more. And to your point about, you know, they can play any style, that's absolutely true. You want to go run and gun, okay, they're comfortable with that. I mean, they did it with Carolina in game four when they won that game 6-4. They did it with Florida in a couple of games in that first round series. You want to go checky mentality, low scoring, patient game, that's what they did against the Islanders. And you know, and even in that, they had an 8-0 game in that series. So they're kind of a hybrid team in that they can play just about any style you want. They have different ways that they're comfortable within a game. And that's, you can't say that about a lot of teams, because if you can pull teams out of their comfort zone, you know, sometimes you can take advantage of that. I'm not sure where you can pull Tampa Bay out of their game and make them feel uncomfortable.
So let's go back to this series. They win all the three first games. They're obviously different kind of games, different kind of styles, but they are able to win those games. They can win the Stanley Cup now up 3-0. And for the first time in the series, the Montreal Canadiens get the lead there. Tampa comes back twice to tie the game. Then they have a big opportunity at the end of regulation and going into overtime. Shea Weber gets called for a high-sticking penalty there. 4 minutes of power play, and they can't get the job done there. They had a lot of chances there, but they obviously can't beat Carey Price to get that goal. I've heard John Cooper today. He talked about the way they played. He obviously was pleased with the way they approached the game and the chances they had. Have you heard anything regarding that game that they say, okay, we should have done something differently, missed chances? Obviously, they play a great team in the Canadiens, so you can't expect to win every game there. And now they are going back to Tampa Bay, and they are still on their mission. They shouldn't be irritated. Have you heard anything regarding that game that they said, man, that was a missed opportunity that can come back to haunt us in any way?
No, and that's, again, going back to the mentality that this team is now has, how they've been able to build this up. You know, it was a missed opportunity, and they know it was a missed opportunity. They talked about it being exactly that, because they did have a chance, right? They didn't come through, but they did everything that you could have asked for them in that game to win the game. I mean, you know, they had the first 13 shot attempts in the game, and, you know, their expected goal rates, I think they were 75% to 80% of the expected goals in the game. They hit three posts. You know, Braden Point hits one on a power play. Victor Hedman hits one on a power play. Nikita Kucherov had that great chance with about 2 minutes to go that probably 99 out of 100 times probably ends up in the back of the net. And that's where that mentality comes from. They're not going to be, oh, woe is us, right? Like, they understand, okay, we did everything we had to win a game. We just didn't win a game. So even yesterday, where John Cooper was talking about it, The players that you could hear them at the breakfast table, they've already moved on from. And that's the mentality that this team has now. They're not going to dwell on what happened in game four. They're going to prepare themselves for game five. And, you know, you never know how a game is going to go. You can have a game like you did in game four where you play as well as you do and you don't win the game. But if you can put yourself into position, and, you know, John Cooper has used this phrase tons of time, especially over the last couple of years, process over outcome. If you trust the process, you play the game you're being asked to play, you play it the right way, you're going to put yourself into a position to win a game. Doesn't mean you will, but it will put you in position. And that's what where this team is at. They move on from a game, and they come on to the next, and they get ready to play.
You mentioned the advanced metrics there, and they had 14-4 high scoring chances for them. It was kind of like game two from the Montreal perspective. When you say you play that game 100 times, maybe Montreal wins that 70-75% of the time. You could say 80% for the Lightning in game four, but whatever. Have you heard anything about the lineup? Do they plan to make changes there? Alex Killorn is out. Matthew Joseph played for him. He was great. He had an assist there on the game-tying goal by Maroon. So have you heard something about Killorn that he might come back? And have you heard anything else that they could change in Game 5, maybe lineup-wise, or are they pleased the way they are and they're going to play a great game there?
Well, it sounds like Killorn is out again, and you know, we know hockey players, and if he's not able to play in you know games in the Stanley Cup Final, you know how hurt he is, how banged up he is. At this point, it doesn't sound like he'll be ready to play, no matter how long this series goes on. So, but it doesn't sound like any changes. The same lineup, anyways. We'll see what the line combinations look like, but no changes in the lines. And you know, I think you have to be impressed with a guy like Matthew Joseph because, you know, he didn't play at all. He was the one skater that was with them in the bubble last year that appeared in zero games. He was it. He was the only guy. Got his name on the cup, but he didn't play. And he used that as motivation. He had a great regular season. He was one of the few guys that played all 56 games for them this year. But once it got to the playoffs, he hadn't played since game three against Florida. So, again, he had to sit and wait his turn. But he didn't pout, right? And you want to talk about a team player, a guy who's ready to go. And when his number was called, he's gone out there and he's played very, very well and very impressive. And that's, again, the depth that this team has that you can call on a guy like Matthew Joseph in this situation and perform for you. And again, that's what makes this team, they're ultra talented, but they're really deep. And that's what makes them so hard to beat.
You mentioned the third line and Barclay Goodrow, Blake Coleman, they're going to be unrestricted free agents in the summer. There are a couple more players, David Savard, who they brought in at the trade deadline, Luke Shane, they are also going to be UFAs. Have you heard something about the mentality that they say, this is our time once more, we might not get another chance to win a cup, other teams have to make moves. I see Vegas, Colorado making moves there, maybe trying to simulate what Tampa did. I mentioned the players from the third line, they're going to have a ton of interest there on the free market. So when you talk to them, have you heard something from the players that this might be the last time, we might not get a third chance with this core?
Yeah, they know that that's not going to happen, right? John Cooper even used the phrase the other day, it's like the last day of school. Right. It's like the day you carry your yearbook around and you want everybody to sign it because you don't know when you're going to see any of those people again. And that's the approach. And it was somewhat the approach last year because the cap hit was supposed to be a detriment this year to them. But, you know, the surgery Nikita Kucherov allowed them to keep Tyler Johnson to kind of keep the team together. So they understand. I mean, as we talk right here, right now, with 18 players under contract, they're already over the salary cap. So, you know, there's some work that Julian Brisebois is going to have to put in here in the summer. I mean, you're going to lose somebody in the expansion draft. It's going to be a quality player no matter who it is. And then you kind of build your roster from there. But, you know, they have to, like, you have to fill out, you need a backup goaltender, you know, behind Andrei Vasilevsky. So that's, you know, one thing that they're going to have. Now, the depth they have, I mean, you know, you saw Ross Colton and the impact that he had this year. You've got a Matthew Joseph again. You've got an Alex Barry-Boulé. You've got a Taylor Radish, a Boris Kachuk, some of these guys who have been, you know, pretty good prospects, not grade A prospects, but they're really good prospects in a system that can come in and fill some of these roles. But yeah, the band is going to have to be broken up next year. There's no doubt. I don't see any way that they can keep Blake Coleman. He's a top six forward on just about any team in the league. Been playing third line here really since he came. Been a big part of it. Scored some huge goals for them in the last postseason and this postseason for sure. But there's no way they can afford him. David Savard, they knew he was going to be a rental when he came in. They're not going to be able to afford him. I think they'd love to keep Barclay Goodrow. But again, when you win cups, your price tag goes up. So they've got some work to do to revamp this roster, but you've got a core of Vasilevsky and Stamkos and Point and Hedman and that group that's going to stay together. It's how can you fill around them? So this is the last chance with this group for sure. Beyond that, it depends on the work that Julian Brisebois can do. So the window will still be open for this franchise. It's just not going to be as deep as they have been here these past couple of years.
You mentioned Braden Point, and obviously his goal scoring streak ended, and he was a little cold the last couple of games. He could have gotten an assist on the couple of the chances you mentioned there, but he will also be an RFA next year, so they're gonna have to do a little shuffling there to give him a new contract there. You also mentioned the cap, and I've criticized the league, not the Lightning, for what they were able to do there. There is some misinformation there, I think, that people say they are $18 million over the cap. That is not true with players that actually suit up for them. I mean, if I look at the page right now, they are having Marian Gaborik on there, Anders Nilsson there. So you got to take a look at the details there to criticize the Lightning or the league then for the cap situation where they're Eric, let's go back to game five now. The next game, what do you think will be the result there? What do you expect from the Lightning? Do you think they will come out flying? Do you think they will play just the hard-nosed style there? What do you expect from the team for that game tonight?
I always expect playoff games to be low scoring. I'm pleasantly surprised when they're not, because goals are fun. Especially when the home team is piling them up for the home fans that missed out on everything last year with everything being in the bubble. But like I said, this team knows, I expect them to start the same way they did in game four, right? Like, they came out looking to win a game, and I think that's how they're going to play tonight. You have a goalie in Carey Price who can have something to say about that. And I think that's what happened to the start of game four. I mean, Montreal had one shot on goal before they got the goal from Josh Anderson to make it 1-0. So the Lightning came out and did everything they needed to do. I expect that to happen tonight. They're going to be energized by their home crowd. There's no doubt about it. And as long as they come out and just play their game, they're going to give themselves a chance to win. And that's all you ask for. Again, you can't predict what's going to happen, but you can put yourself in the position to make it better for you. And that's what I expect from this team tonight, to come out with a business-like approach and play the game and give yourself a chance. And, you mentioned Braden Point. You have to think at some point he's going to put a stamp on this series, because he doesn't have a goal yet in four games. And as crazy as that is to say, you just feel like he's ready to break through at any moment. And that could be a big boost, because they've gotten production from other guys, but the one guy who's leading the playoffs in goals hasn't scored yet in the series.
Eric, thanks a lot for your time and for your expertise. Eric_Erlandson is the Twitter handle. I'll link the blog there as well. I'll link the podcast so people can listen and read your work there. So thanks a lot for coming on the show. I wish you that the Lightning win at home if they win. I mean, I don't have anything against the game seven from a neutral perspective. That's going to be some fun game there.
Yep.
Hopefully for you, they can win it on home ice. It's going to be crazy with the fans in the building there. So, I hope that you get that experience, and either in game five or in game seven. And thanks a lot for your expertise, and looking forward to game five.
My pleasure, Lars. Thanks for having me on.
Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
Ja, ist doch alles gut. Beruhig dich. Geht ja bald weiter. Die neue Staffel Is Was Doc ist doch bereits in der Mache. Kleinen Augenblick Geduld noch und dann gibt's hier wieder Geschichten über gute und schlechte Hundstage und natürlich Tipps von unserer Expertin Melanie Lippisch für eine harmonische Mensch-Hund-Beziehung.
Is Was Doc? Mit Malte Asmus. Jetzt bewerten, abonnieren und weiterempfehlen.